You say you did it. I say you didn't. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. I say you got lucky. You say I didn't try. So you say it all worked. I say not for me. You say I didn't try. I say you just don't see why. You say I didn't try. I ask, can't you cry? You ask, why should I? I ask as I sigh. Why can't you see it? If we exist as I, too few will make it if we are only I. Folks, that's the whole question in life is how much do we care about others and how much do we sacrifice a little bit to make our world a better place? We're going to talk about all kinds of issues on this show. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, and I'm your host, Alan Jennings. Several months ago, I introduced our listeners to Hassan Botts. Hassan is an ex-offender who was in and out of the system, made a decision to make a course correction, got a PhD, and began a journey to tackle the issues that put him on the wrong path in the first place in order to give others a chance to make the same course correction. Hassan's nonprofit, Promise Neighborhoods, is working to end the violence in our midst, especially in Allentown. Hassan Botts, welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Alan.
Last summer, the OK Corral busted out on the streets of the city's neighborhoods in Allentown. Gang violence was threatening the city's economic revival, the quality of life, and the lives of a lot of kids. Hassan, how did you and Promise Neighborhoods respond to that at the time?
We responded by going to the community and listening to the needs of the community and going straight to the people that were closest to the issues that were occurring. So we sat down and we realized that we had to strengthen our relationships with the guys that were connected to the gangs that we call credible messengers, and that they were the ones with the best solutions to the issues that had led up to the violence and preventing future violence.
Your background, just quickly discuss the issue of your own experience. You were in a gang?
Yeah, I was in a gang when I was younger.
Well, how old were you at the time?
Probably 12 years old.
In your youth?
In my youth, correct.
And you were able to get out?
Yes.
And how old were you then?
I guess you'd say I aged out. I matured, and I never joined this was more of a local neighborhood gang. So you have you know, international, national gangs, and you have block gangs and posses.
This brings us to the role of gangs in our neighborhoods. Tonight I'm introducing Jose Rivera. Jose, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jose is a member of the Latin Kings. Am I right?
Yes.
You have a rank?
Let's not talk about that.
You don't want to talk about the rank? Okay, and second is Keefe McNear.
How you doing?
Good to have you on the show.
It's my pleasure.
You're a member of a gang?
That is correct.
Which gang?
I'm a member of Paru.
How long have you been a member?
Since I was about 12, so it's 10 years.
10 years. Why did you join the gang?
Basically, growing up where I'm from, that's all you see. So it was more of like a comfortability within my neighborhood. So it's growing up, seeing these people. Not really much of expectation. Well, yeah, you could say so. It's more of like, all right, well, due to the fact you live in this neighborhood, this is what you're going to grow up to be, or these are the people you're going to, you know, follow behind after. So it was more of like, all right, like basically a street path, how I would call it. I grew up around these people, so it was any other choice but to join.
And where was this, New Jersey?
Yeah, this is North New Jersey.
What brought you to Allentown?
Changed my life. Went to jail, caught a gun case. Juvenile, came home, decided to move to Allentown to kind of change my life around, but kind of was taking a couple of steps back instead of moving forward.
You ended up graduating from Allen High School?
That's correct, 2015.
Right, and you recently had a bit of an epiphany where you decided that maybe you don't want to do this anymore.
That is correct.
What brought that about?
Well, first was me having a daughter, and then I actually did 6 months within the local county jail. So due to the fact that was my first time doing time as an adult, it kind of opened up my eyes to the new opportunities and different options that I got in life instead of being locked in a cell or dead.
And you're 22 now?
That is correct.
Do you want to discuss your rank?
I got the LT. I'm comfortable discussing it. So for that, I got basically like the whole state of Pennsylvania as far as for my set.
So you're a lieutenant?
Yeah.
That rank,
Is that something you start? Do you always start at the bottom and move up, and or is that? I mean, are you the? You know, are you able to start at middle rank and move up, or how does it work? How do you get that rank?
It's like a job. You got to work your way to the top. If you're gonna work your way to the top, you're gonna stay at the bottom. But that's basically like a negativity rank. It's nothing good.
Well, at you're 23, 22?
22.
Okay, and how much time have you spent in somebody's jail cell?
Well, when I was a teenager, it was a year and a half, and then recently, last year, 6 months.
Okay. All right, Jose, you're a Latin king.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why did you join the gang?
Sense of belonging, and at that time when we did it, it wasn't what it is now. It was more community-based and community-funded. We did more for the community than some of these programs out there now. But over time, it's changed.
And where are you from? Where was that?
I'm originally from the Bronx.
Okay. I think Jose just hit on something that gets overlooked, that all of these gangs were designed to protect their communities. Even when Keefe talks about Pyro and the Bloods, what does Blood stand for?
Can't discuss that over the air, but it's a sense of brotherhood.
sense of belonging, sense of brotherhood. And I think that gets lost.
Yeah. Well, and is that because the family is broken? I mean, do you have that an absence of that in your home life? I mean, what drives that?
I can't say that because my mother did everything she could. It's more broken communities. It's not broken homes. It's communities are broken because at the end of the day, I've discussed this before, when someone yells gangs, instead of the community opening up doors for these kids, everything gets shut down. There's no place for these kids to go and learn and do anything. So once you close that down, the gangs open up the doors.
Which I agree upon.
And it shouldn't be like that. It should be more community. Everyone's quick to blame the single parent, the families, and it's the whole community.
All three of us had mothers that loved and adored us.
Yeah.
You know, it's that benign neglect. It's the communities are under-resourced, and like Jose just said, the youth have to find ways to connect, to feel a sense of safety, to have a sense of belonging. You look at a city like Allentown, there aren't any free sports clinics, sports programs available for kids. So what happens? The kids end up uniting together and just getting in trouble.
So, Jose, how long have you been in the gang?
29 years.
29 years. My understanding is you just got out of prison for, a 14-year term?
I just finished doing 13 years for distribution. Trafficking case.
And how much time have you spent overall in your life sitting in a jail cell?
Around 27 years.
God bless you, man. So you're now actively involved in doing some of the work that's designed to make the community a better place. You're also taking classes. You're moving on from the gang. Is that?
I can't say I'm moving on because at the end of the day, if I move on, I left everything behind that I lived for. At the end of the day, I'm still trying to be part of the solution while still being involved with my peers. Because the minute I walk away from my peers, I can't complain about a problem that's going on if I'm not involved in it.
Are you in danger because you're on this show?
Every day I'm in danger. But if I don't speak, no one's going to speak for us. We're not a group of people that like publicity. We like to stay away from everything.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed that you guys are here and on this show, but I think there's so much that you can give this community, helping people understand what you've dealt with, what you're dealing with, and what you hope to not have to deal with in the future. Do you live in fear?
No.
Keefe?
Not at all.
No? So you're not worried that, you know, you're walking down the street sometime, you could be a target?
You got to understand, so based on how it goes is the lifestyle that you live. There's a saying, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. So when you done did so much dirt, the only thing you could think of is your day is going to come. But the more that I live in fear, that could put me in trouble. If I walk around with a gun, I'm liable to get stopped by the cops.
Yeah.
So it's like, at the end of the day, if something's going to happen to me, it's going to happen. But I'm on the route of change, and so that's why I don't walk outside with guns, you know. Things like that. So I don't live in fear.
I was
at
just
all.
Discussing that with Doc on the way down here. You can move forward in your life and do all these positive things, but you're never going to outrun your past. Your past is your past. And as long as you're doing the right thing, you're good. Your past is your past. When it catches up, you got to explain yourself then and there. I can't keep thinking about what I did, because it don't let me to think forward. And right now I'm thinking forward. if I keep dwelling on what's going on behind me, I'm not going to go forward. That's when I'm going
to
stumble.
And the experience that I'm having is that most of the guys in the neighborhood want the neighborhood to be safe. So it's not as though they're saying to us, stop talking to kids about getting out of gangs. We have the gang leaders. We have the top-ranking officials telling us, if the kids want to get out and they want to do the right thing, we support that and we'll work with you.
So you can get out of a gang. You're not at risk for walking away. Is that what you're saying?
There's procedures for everything. As long as it's done right.
I wouldn't even look at it as a gang, as an organization. Mm-hmm. We lost the right to be called the organization when we started acting like a gang and started portraying ourselves as a gang. So that's where the whole, you know, we was for the community, but we lost our hope as time went on. I'm second generation. So I done watched it go from being for the community to now I'm beefing among my own peers, or I'm beefing along with people I call my homies that, you know, we started from day one, but now as time we got older, everybody's not on the right path. Everybody done split.
You're listening to WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Alan Jennings, your host by day, night, weekends, my whole life. I work for the Community Action Committee of Lehigh Valley. I appreciate WDIY giving me the opportunity to host this show once a month. Tonight my guests are Hassan Botts, who runs the Promise Neighborhoods nonprofit organization in Allentown, and Jose Rivera, Latin King, and Keefe McNear. What's the gang, Matt?
I'm Pablo.
Okay. Right. I've started a couple of meetings that we've had together by saying you guys have enormous power. You have the power to destroy Allentown, and you have the power to help make it great. Which way do you want to take it?
Trying to take the right way.
What we're saying, you know, Hassan has been talking about is everybody needs to be engaged in the problem-solving process. And you guys have been actively involved since I've met you. I mean, you've been involved in a ton of meetings and discussions and some of the events that are going on downtown. My impression is that you are all in on trying to get the neighborhoods right. And I'm guessing that's because you want things to be different than the way they were when you guys were coming up, right?
That is true.
And these guys have been leading the change. So, again, at Promise Neighborhoods, we have responsive programming. So I'm just listening to what they say we need. We're just following their lead. They're in the community. They're the ones that are getting folks to come out to events. When there's an act of violence, these are the guys that are mediating it. They're bringing, you know, the warring factions to the table. They're sitting down with them, and they're talking through the disputes to prevent retaliation, to prevent future violence. So it's not as though they're like employees or volunteers and they work for us. We work for them.
Our agency runs something called Upside Allentown. It's a neighborhood partnership that takes tax credits from corporations and uses them to raise funds to do different programs. We've been doing that for 6 years in Allentown, and we've been we're working now on doing a new one. And we were in the process, as we were discussing what the next one should look like, of focusing on art as an economic development tool. And when the shootings started to occur and we met with neighborhood residents, they said, no, not art. We need places for kids. We need safe places for kids. So about that time, I connected with Hassan. And Hassan was on this show earlier and changed my perspective. And we've redirected the campaign to look at youth in a city and conversations with members of gangs. What I've found is that you guys aren't interested in anything for yourselves. You're interested in making the community a better place for kids. Is that fair assessment?
Absolutely.
That is correct.
So what is it that makes you interested in kids? Is that
with me? It's I have a bunch of kids, I have a bunch of grandkids, and I don't want them to go through what I went through in my life. I want to be a steward for the change. I want them to understand. I might have done all this negative stuff in the past, but while I sat in prison, I had an epiphany, and there's better things out there. But the community has to be more engaged with the youth. The problem has been the community has been so engaged with the adults and trying to solve the problems of the youth through the adults, and it don't work like that. These kids have a voice. You have to listen to them. They understand. Right now, I tell everybody, they're smarter than we were at that age. They have the world at their fingertips through all this social media. And if we don't engage with them and understand what their needs and their wants are, we're the ones being left behind. We're not. We can't parent them the way we were parented. That old way got thrown away.
Mm. Keefe?
I just want to add a little bit something to that. So basically the reason why we chose to focus on the kids is there's a lot of potential in them. When you leave kids unattended and allow them to, you know, get bored with the everyday life, that's when they tend to venture out to the streets. I'm actually dealing with a kid that I'm mentoring right now where he's at the age now where, you know, he wants to venture out and find out what the street life is about. But the thing is with that, it's all fabricated. With these kids hearing stories, movies, and videos and music, it's all fabricated. The streets is not what they expected. You know, oh, my brothers is going to ride for me. They're always going to be there. That's all fabricated. You know, we got to show these kids that it's basically there's a better way. You don't have to be stuck where you're at in your neighborhood, gangbanging, causing violence. There's more to life than Allentown.
And so these guys are doing this every day. These guys show up to the office every day. They're walking the streets every day.
They're not getting paid a nickel.
No. Mothers are bringing their kids by. You know, they're going to schools and walking kids home from school. We're getting calls. The kids are getting bullied and getting pressured into joining gangs. And these guys show up. And the kids in the neighborhood listen to them, you know.
The discussion about what the neighborhoods need. We had a... you know, after I had Hassan on the show, I said, Hassan, between us, I think we can make some pretty good things happen. And I remember sitting in your office, and we were talking about these issues, and in walks Keefe. And Keefe gave me a completely different perspective on what the world looks like from his view. And, you know, I remember saying to Keefe, if we offered you a job walking the neighborhood, identifying kids that were, potentially getting into trouble and redirecting them and, talking them out of joining a gang, would you do it? And Keefe, your answer?
My answer was yes.
Heck yeah, right? So, I mean, I haven't once heard you guys say you want something for yourselves. The whole discussion has been about the kids. So what is your suggestion for what we should be doing with and for kids in the neighborhood? I mean, if you, we're in charge. You took my job, and we're in a position to be able to direct $700,000 a year to intervene in the lives of kids in the neighborhood. What would that look like?
With me, like I've always said, these kids want to be educated. And you sat at the table with us, and we had two children there, and they were saying the same thing. They want to be tutored. They want to advance themselves. They're not getting the advancements in schools. Our schools are messed up. But if we can give them that little stepping stone, that's all they need, that little stepping stone. They're not asking for boulders, a little stone. Technology, vocational. This is all stuff that needs to go forward now with these kids. They're not seeing the future out there because we're trying to tell them this is what you need to learn. But they're trying to tell us this is what they need to learn. This is where they want to take their lives, their careers. We can't keep teaching kids out of this cookie cutter idea that everybody has that this is what you need in school. They want to come out. They want to take classes. They want to learn. But we're holding up their learning. And once you hold up their learning, they get frustrated. And once frustrations comes, that's when quitting comes. These kids haven't quit on themselves yet, but we're forcing that quit. They're speaking to us. They're speaking to everybody. But as adults, everyone looks at kids don't have a voice.
We need to show them more love and support.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Those of you who are familiar with Lehigh Valley Discourse, this is really a very short break. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. This is getting more and more interesting by the second.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host tonight. I'm Alan Jennings from the Community Action Committee of Lehigh Valley. We're talking to Jose Rivera and Keefe McNair and Hassan Botts, who are right in the middle of the storm when it comes to challenges in the neighborhoods of Allentown. And we're talking about what gangs' role is in the issue. And we're going to keep going here. So, Jose, you're taking college classes now.
Yes.
What's your plan? What have you got in mind?
Right now, I'm finishing up my last semester. I have an associate's in business, so I haven't thought of anything yet because my main focus is right now school. If I deter outside of that, I get frustrated. Doc knows I'm frustrated every day, and they're trying to...
Environmental science. Yeah,
environmental science. But it's a course I have to take, so I can't think... I don't know what my what is. I know my why. I just don't know what my what is.
And you have a 4.0. What's your grade point?
3.97.
3.97.
Jeez, oh, Wiz, you're not having enough fun, man.
All you gotta do is round.
But that speaks to the fact that these guys are brilliant, man. These guys are geniuses.
No, well, either that or boring because, you know, you gotta study like crazy to get a 3.97. And, you know, so when I meet people who have got 3.97s, I think they're not having enough fun, man.
Well,
so
that's what happens when you take your mind off the streets and get positive.
That's outstanding.
But see, I had the fun already. Yeah. I had. I'm like a lot of people talk about they grew up in jail. Look, growing up, it happens naturally. It took me this time around to do these 13 years for me to mature. Maturity has to come within. And it took me a while to understand that. After I sat and did this time, I sat around, I started looking at everything like, what am I not doing? I keep coming to jail. I keep hanging around the same people. I keep walking around the yard like cattle. I keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. So I said, you know what? Forget the yard, forget everything else. I'm picking up a book. They offered the Second Chance Pell program at the prison I was at. I jumped right on it. A lot of people think it's a scam, though, in the prison. They have no trust in people, so I made it right in. For 2 years, that's all I did is hit the books. I did everything the hard way. Now I come home and I find out there's a harder way. It's called technology. And I suck.
I hate technology, too, man, so I'm with you all the way.
So I'm sitting in classes where these kids are sitting there, and I'm trying to catch up to them. As far as doing the hard copy stuff, books and paper and pencils, I got that. But when it comes to uploading, downloading, and doing, they got me, you know. And it's not that I failed in it. It's the prison needs to give those programs in the prison systems. At the end of the day, you have all these people coming home from prisons and recovery programs, and you're not teaching them. At the end of the day, it's not my job, it's not Dr. Botts' job, it's not Keefe's job to be role models. The number one role model should be the parent.
Yeah.
And I'm for the kids on everything, but I'm also pro for the parents. Because at the end of the day, we uplift these kids and we bring them to where they want to be at, but then we send them back home.
That's right. Somebody has to maintain, you know, the behavior that, you know, the good behavior that they're doing. You know, we could clean their act up, get them all together. But once you send them back to the home, who's going to maintain that?
And well, it's a cycle because we got to start all over the next day. We just hope that every day something sticks. Just one thing sticks that we talk to them. We can talk to them for 2 or 3 hours a day, but if something stuck, 1 minute is worth it.
And we're seeing it. We're seeing those seeds that we're planting are starting to sprout. The other thing that I'll add is when we talk about solutions, our youth have to see themselves reflected in the services and the programs that are being served. The reason Jose and Keefe can get to these kids are because they look like them, because they come from the same neighborhoods as right. them. Enough resources aren't being put into the community that are supporting people from the community that are coming up with the ideas that reflect the communities being served. You have to have the Keefe's. 22-year-old Allen graduate, he needs to be the one going back to Allen High School. Jose, we have a kid coming in that's getting bullied or having issues in his school. Jose shows up, he speaks Spanish, he knows the dad. If the dad was in the neighborhood growing up, right, isn't that what we're finding? If the dad was a tough guy growing up, Jose knows it. We're able to resolve disputes just like that. We need people from the neighborhood that are being lifted up and supported in these positions. The reason these guys are with our organization is because they see me and I look like them and they can relate to me.
Hassan and gave us a chance.
And yeah. And believed in you. Gave him a chance. That's right. I see myself in Keefe.
Keefe, where are you going? What's your plan?
My plan? Basically, my whole plan is to continue what I'm doing as far as getting these kids back on the right path. I feel as though this is my calling. So this is, I'm stuck with this for life now. It was the gangs at first, but now it's getting the community back on track. Like I said, I got a daughter, so I want to make sure by the time my daughter reaches her teen, you know, there's a reduction on gang violence. There's a reduction on kids joining gangs, or, you know, the safety has to, you know, be increased. So I have to make sure that is done in order for my daughter to enjoy her life growing up as a teenager, as a young adult period in Allentown.
What do you think the role of the police department is?
I think the role of the police is to investigate crimes and arrest people for crimes. The police's role is not crime prevention. I think that's the community's role. We can partner with the police on that, right? When you have a good police force that's centered around equity, that cares about the community, has community police, and we can partner with them. But I think their role primarily is to arrest and pass on to the prosecutors to prosecute people. I think it's the community's role to prevent crime. It's the community's role to take care of itself. It's the community's role to make sure that people are safe and are cared for, are loved, and that we have a sense of belonging. Jose talked about that earlier. That sense of belonging is what will protect our community. I just want to say briefly, what we're finding in the research is showing that there are three drivers to why kids join gangs. One is safety. One is sense of belonging. And that third one we talked about a little bit is the home life. So what happens is, kids are getting bullied or they feel like they're not in a safe space, and they come together and protect themselves. And when they come together and protect themselves, because the community or because the adults around them have failed, we criminalize and pathologize them for protecting themselves. And that's a double wrong.
And the problem with being bullied, the bullies ain't the problem. It's the people who get bullied, because after a while they become the bullies. And they bully the people who bully them, and they bully everybody else.
It's a big cycle. It's back and
so
forth.
At the end of the day, when we talked about going to rob and all that before, the biggest voice are the good kids. But everyone's so focused on the bad kids that you neglect the good kids. And in this process, you have to be inclusive and bring the good kids involved with that, because they have the largest voice. They're the ones who have the biggest laws. The bad kids are bad already. We can separate them and work with them. But if you forget about all the good kids that are trying to do something, the cycle's still there. You have to include them, the ones that are being bullied. You have to talk to them. That way they understand what's going on. They don't know why they're getting bullied. They just know they're being abused. But you have to speak to them. You just can't talk, we're going to talk to the bullies. We're going to talk to the bullies. No, you have to talk to the victims.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guests tonight are Hassan Batts, who's the director of Promise Neighborhoods, right in the middle of everything in downtown Allentown's neighborhoods. Also, Jose Rivera, a member of a local gang, and Keefe McNair, also a member of a local gang. And we're talking about gangs and the role in economic development and making our world a better or worse place. Does the rank that you have enable you to get the people below you to change their behavior? I mean, if you said, you can't do that, would they stop?
They're not going to answer that question the way I will. I will tell you, because I've witnessed it. I walk down a block with these guys. They look at somebody, they calm down. When there's a war going on, if these guys say, relax, the streets relax. I mean, rank does matter. And personalities, they're leaders. They're natural born leaders.
I think that's pretty apparent from listening to these guys. It's actually really fascinating to have this conversation.
Wait up, Alan. I'd like to apologize. I did call the bullied people victims, and they're not victims. They're more like survivors.
That's my dude.
That's
man.
Good word.
That's beautiful.
That's a good word. Way to go, Jose. You guys are finding yourselves in pretty interesting places. I don't know if you ever expected to be in the plush offices of J.B. Riley, who is...
Not at all.
This guy is the main man in Allentown.
Don't forget Charlie.
Charlie Marcon from Dugan and Marcon. We walked the neighborhoods. One of the things that we did was we stopped in the Head Start Center run that J.B. Riley made possible at the old Morning Call building. And there were a couple of guys from the gangs who were in tears getting the explanation. One of them was overheard saying, I can only imagine where my life would be if I had had these kinds of services when I was a kid. Is that your experience? I mean, do you think that you were overlooked and neglected as a kid?
I want to say yes and no to that.
Yeah.
My reason for saying yes and no is because me growing up, I had everything. My mother, my mother wasn't on drugs. I'm saying she had a job, but it wasn't like, her job took all her time. It was more of me being around it. I went to school with kids. I went to a public school. So you see kids in that, are in gangs, or I'm hanging around these kids and they got older brothers that's in gangs. So it was like I lived kind of a double life. When I'm at home, I'm Shaquif, I'm chilling, doing my schoolwork, doing what I got to do. But once I go outside, I'm Keefe. I'm this, ruthless kid. You couldn't tell me nothing. And I actually maintained that double life for a couple of years until I turned about, 17, and then everything came out. So it's like, as Jose said in the beginning, a sense of belonging. So I felt as though me growing up, being around these people, seeing them, I belong in this gang. I belong in this hood, which really I didn't belong. It was never for me, and I had everything I had at home.
See, with me, I can't say that because till my dying breath, my mother would always be my queen. There's nothing that she can do that would ever be wrong in my eyes. And right now, you're trying to make me compare Pong to the new PS4. And it's different strokes for different folks. We grew up differently. We had everything in my eyes in our generations. It's that we put no value towards it. And now these younger kids that are coming up now, they want to know what value is. They want to know what it is. And we're not instructing them on what it is. Since we're not instructing them as parents and as a community, the gangs, we'll take them in. We'll show them what a value of a dollar is. They might not be what they were looking for. It might not be what they were searching for, but the truth is the truth. If you don't show them what value is, they don't know what it is. We'll show them. And then the community runs around talking about we're the bad guys. We're not the bad guys at the end of the day. The minute y'all started closing these doors for these kids, yous became the bad guys. We didn't go to knock on your door and pick up your kids. You left them out in the street and gave them to us. Is it hard to let your kids sit inside the house with a couple friends to play some video games? Where would you rather have them? Sitting in your house playing video games or running up and down the streets with us? As a community, you have to make these choices. At the end of the day, you can't cry about what you started, but you can prevent it. And that's all we're asking for. Try to prevent it. Talk to your kids. Talk to the neighborhoods.
And a lot of these kids also have family base that are in gangs. So there's a saying that says, it's either you're born in a gang or you join a gang. Basically meaning you have a kid whose family, like I said, family, friends, they're all sitting around gangs. So that's what we conclude. All right, this kid was born in there. Then you got the kids that, you know, they've been bullied or they don't have the stability at home that go out and join gangs. They go look for it. So there's a little bit of a difference on how these kids really get themselves involved in this stuff.
And oftentimes our gangs are Boy Scouts. Our gangs are our fraternities. I mean,
They
are safety. We didn't have rugby teams and soccer teams growing up. I mean, again, so the communities have been neglected. So you pay taxes and the resources aren't going to the communities that have the highest need, that folks are the most vulnerable. So as Jose said, the kids are going outside. They're being bullied. We're safe in our homes. We, all three of us, again, had mothers that loved and adored us, but we had to go outside into that jungle.
So you guys have now been at the table with some of the most powerful people in the Lehigh Valley. What do you perceive and what do you think is this an opportunity for you to take advantage of, or how are you looking at the opportunity to work with the J.B. Rileys, the Charlie Marcons, and others in our community?
It's a wonderful opportunity, but it's an opportunity for both sides. Mm. Opportunity for us, and it's an opportunity for them. The only way that you're going to ever survive in the world, you have to be book smart and shoot smart. If you ain't got those two, you will not survive. And what I mean by, book smart, that's actually getting the education, learning new things, expanding your mind. Now, the street smart, that's actually surviving, period.
Tough world.
It's a tough world, no matter what you do, no matter if you're black, white, Spanish, Asian, you gangbang, or you're a corporate guy. You got to have street smarts in order to survive. So by us coming to the table with them, we're giving them insight on how the people in Allentown feel, giving them solutions on how to, get these kids more involved. At the end of the day, they're trying to build something for Allentown, which I respectfully understand that. But the thing is, how are you going to maintain that?
Since Hassan and I introduced you to J.B. Riley, you've been at a number of his very upscale events.
Correct.
What's your perspective being in that very different world than what you're accustomed to?
I always found myself to be a businessman, so that just gave me a new insight. Like I said, there's more to life than Allentown, coming from the negative perspective, what I mean by that. So my friends don't know how it is to sit in an office that's surrounded by 15 chairs or go to an event and put on a suit and tie. So I have to let them know, look, there's more to just standing on somebody's corner or gangbanging, waiting to see which one of our rivals is going to act up so we can go ahead and do something to them. So I got to let them know, hey, look, we can get this together, be businessmen, do something for our community. That's all I'm doing with this opportunity, is to take this and do something for my people.
We've been working on criminal justice reform. Hassan's been part of that. I've been part of that. We're focusing on Lehigh County right now, and we've had meetings with a number of elected officials, and you've been at that table. I would imagine it's got to be pretty weird to have been where you've been and to be in those places now do you see yourself being able to take advantage of it? Do you think that the circumstances are a place where you have an opportunity to really make a difference where 2 years ago you might not have thought that you'd ever have that opportunity?
Correct. I'm the voice of the streets, so.
And I think that's critical when he says that. He's the voice of the streets. So when I'm in a room, I'm listening to what these guys are telling me. It's not me speaking. It's the constant conversations that I'm having because Keefe and Jose are the most connected to what's going on in the neighborhood.
So I could connect the streets to corporate offices, you know, government offices that needs to hear what these people got to say. A lot of these people don't have trust within, you know, the governments or the corporations that are being brought to their town. So for me, I'm the barrier that, you know, helps break distrust. All right, well, look, these people need this or they want to say this. And then, you know, well, these corporations also want to reach out to these people. But the thing is, there's a trust issue going on.
So you were in meetings with, like, the county executive. Did that meeting give you a different perspective on, you know, what you thought the world behaved like, you know, what you thought it took to get things done? Did you get a different perspective as a result of any of those meetings?
Correct. They're not bad people.
Yeah, thank you.
The same way that how they think that, you know, gang members are bad people. They're not bad people. I understand where they come from. They got a job that needs to be done. Yeah. Only thing is I ask is that they be more open to, you know, the insight and the information that we have to help better our community.
You're listening to WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Hassan Bhatt, Jose Rivera, Keefe McNair. We're talking about gangs and their role in the city of Allentown. There's lots more to discuss. We're going to take a quick break. Hope you'll stick around. More to come.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back. Listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host tonight. I'm Alan Jennings. With me are my guests, Hassan Bhatt, who you have met before on my show. Hassan runs the nonprofit called Promise Neighborhoods of Lehigh Valley. Also, Jose Rivera and Keefe McNair, members of local gangs who are engaged with us in helping to solve the problems that they know, as well as anybody, exist in our community and in our midst. One of the things that I've been fascinated by is, you know, I mean, look, I'm a white guy from the suburbs, you know. I mean, I've spent my whole life wanting to be in the middle of the fight, and I've been in the middle of the fight. But what surprises me is... Jose's laughing at me. now you made me forget what I was going to say, Jose, man.
That's what happened when you got in that fight.
What were you laughing at that I said?
I seen your moves. I don't think you have a fight left in you. I'm sorry to say that.
You didn't read my op-ed on Saturday.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah. So you go to these meetings, and you're at the table with people who are in decision-making positions and in some cases have vast resources. Jose, I think you have been particularly vocal in being impatient with what it takes to try to get these things done. You know, for example, you develop a plan. It takes months to get a proposal written with neighborhood input. Then it's got to go through the funding process and it's got a contracting process. And, you know, things where people like us are saying, you know, we can do this, take time, and you've been frustrated by that. What's your perspective?
Because while we're working on one problem, new ones are occurring. And by the time we come up with this solution for this problem, the problem has been settled, and we have to work on the next one. And when I first walked into that room with JB, you heard what I told him. I didn't care about his buildings. My community wasn't eating off them buildings. You know, my honest-to-God truth, I just got released out of prison before I met him, and... I didn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
I got some trust with him now because I see what he's trying to do.
And can I just add on something? And this is what I said, where there's a lot of distrust between as far as the people that's in charge of making power and then, you know, our community. So that's something that definitely needs to get tackled.
Like, when I first saw him, I was sitting there like, okay, we're sitting at this table with a bunch of white dudes. What are they going to say about my neighborhood? And like I told him, it's like at the end of the day, we can work in your buildings. We can not even work. We can fix your buildings. We can feed Jews. We can maintain it. We can secure your buildings. But what are you doing for the people right across the street from your buildings, from LTRIC? You have a lot of kids that are graduating that are from my neighborhood right there. Why ain't they getting the same opportunities? You want to be good in the neighborhood? Hire these kids. Show them. Show them at an early age.
JB, you know, because he's got his own resources, is in a position to make much quicker commitments. And so since he started having these discussions, he created the project. You guys were there for the announcement called the Real Estate Lab. If I had come up with that idea and tried to put it together, it would take 2 years.
Exactly.
He could do it in 2 months.
And I love what he's doing because he shut me up for a second when he came up with that. I was like, all right, that's something. Now we sat at the other table with him again. And when I said what I said again, he jumped right on board. He didn't hesitate. He said, okay, let's do something.
I think so. I had the same energy at that time. So it worked out.
Yeah, find a place.
One said action and one said movement.
So it's like, right, let's get it moving.
It's about getting stuff done now. And what's going to disappoint me is right now if we don't get the word out there to the neighborhood about what's going on. Because me, Keefe, Doc can't be the only ones doing this. This has to get put in the papers, what's going on. This has to get publicized because the people want to know what's going on in their neighborhoods. A lot of them don't understand. All they see is all these pretty buildings being put up, and they're getting forced to move out of Center City. Because no one realizes, you might complain about all these people in Center City, but these are the people who kept Center City alive. There would not be no Center City if it wasn't for these communities. The problem is everybody says, oh, these are drug-stricken neighborhoods. Not everybody in the neighborhood does drugs. The majority of the people that do the drugs come from outside our neighborhoods. Mm. It's just easily accessible in our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference. And now everyone wants to cry about all these opiate epidemics. I've been selling drugs since I was out here in the 80s. It's been going on in Center City. Now that it's hitting out in Whitehall and Parkland, now everyone wants to cry about it. Why weren't you crying about it back then?
Yeah, it's very, very.
But right now, I see everything's moving in the right direction. It's at a slow process. My thing is, the same people that are in power now, are they going to still be in power 5 years from now when everything starts moving into action? Because the same way we put it into action, like you said, next administration will come and take everything away from us. I don't want to keep doing this cycle. I don't like empty promises. Either we're going to do this and we're going to go all in on it, or we're not going to do nothing. If we're not going to do nothing, take me away from the table.
So if we're telling these people we got them, we're going to do what it does to get our neighborhood and community back on track, we got to make sure that the people that we're working with understands that same motto that we're giving to our people.
When I took this job, they challenged me. My board said, we need you to get the community involved. The community's involved. The community's showing up. So now we're looking for what they call cross-sector collaboration. The corporate sector is showing up. These guys are creating programs. They're partnering with folks from the neighborhood. And we even had 60 parents and youth go to city council and say, listen, we want 1% of the city budget to be designated toward violence prevention. So the MPPs moved towards violence prevention and youth. The community has been asking the city to support violence prevention against youth. We've met directly with the mayor. We've met with Julio Garrity. And we've really been talking about this. What would it look like if the community was able to lead the issues that are important in their community and to ask for the resources? So the corporate sector is showing up, the nonprofit sector is showing up, and the community is showing up. In big ways. Everywhere we ask them to come, they come. You could tell me tomorrow we need 100 guys to come out to this event. They come, you know? So now we're looking for the government sector to show up. That's why we've been meeting with commissioners and with local elected officials. So we'll see who's who.
Because like I said, we don't want to keep moving this forward and then the next administration comes and takes it all away from us and tells us now we're starting at zero again. At the end of the day, my community doesn't want a handout. We want the same opportunities everybody else is given.
And budgets are value statements. You can look at the budgets, and the budget will tell you what people care about in the community, what the decision makers care about. You know, if you were to give the money to Jose, he would put it towards
recovery.
That's what's important.
And housing. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, the people that are living in Center City, I love them. I love the neighborhoods. I love everything about it. I just am frustrated when I see how much they're paying. It's like you put up these buildings. The rent went skyrocketed around everyone else. You built that little corridor, but it looks like Atlantic City to me. How beautiful, glitz and glamour Atlantic City is. And then you go to the outside a block away. Everything's messed up. When are we going to fix that right there? You just can't have these buildings from 7th and Linden to 7th and Walnut looking amazing and everything outside of that. Your city's falling apart. Like, they want to do 7th Street. That's our corridor into Center City. Yes, you got all these stores in there. But all them stores used to be on Hamilton Street. So basically, you move them out to the side. We're still doing our job and making our community at our best with what we have. But you're not supporting them.
But most of the businesses that have moved to 7th Street are saying they're doing better on 7th Street than they were on Hamilton Street. The 7th Street improvements have been our work, and mm-hmm. I'm pretty proud of that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's no one else is helping them. They need more help. Because it's only 7th Street. What are you going to do? Have this golden path to go into Center City? Down 7th Street? What about 8th Street? What about 9th Street? What about Chew? What Six. About... You have to... The whole neighborhood has to see it.
Yeah. You guys now have been working with you for a number of months, and you have been working together as two rival gang, you know, members of rival gangs. I've seen you joke around. I've
Listeners
seen you,
didn't see the handshake that just happened. Yeah, the love,
seen,
right?
I've seen knuckle, what do you call that?
Fist pumps.
Yeah, I've seen us have meetings, and afterwards you guys were very friendly. You shook hands.
When it comes to us, we don't see colors. We don't color bang. We don't see gangs. That's Jose. I'm Keefe. I don't say that's Jose from the Land King, or this is Keefe from the Bloods. We don't see that no more. We got one common goal, and that's what we're working on.
When we had the shooting at Deja Vu, we called together folks, and QB came to us and said, let's do a Bro Day basketball tournament. We had a basketball tournament that had Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings all come together and play against each other in the basketball tournament and zero violence. Because when you tell people it's about peace, these guys show up, man. They want to see the community better.
So what would it take to declare peace in the neighborhoods? Put the rivalry aside, stop the violence and join the effort, and choose, as I said earlier in the show, to make the community the best it can be. What will it take to get us there?
Trust, that's one.
That's the main one.
And give out some opportunities. These people they look at it as they ain't got no opportunities, so it's the only thing that they can do. It's hard to find jobs out here. So what people do, they go to poisoning the community, selling drugs and, robbing their own people. So you need to give opportunities with jobs. You know, that's all we need is opportunities, a way to improve ourselves as human beings, as a whole.
Opportunities, give them trainings, show them that there's a better way. Like, my ex sat me down before, and it was more like, yeah, you might have made all this money selling your drugs, but when you went to jail, you laughed at the dude who was making $10 an hour, but look at the equivalent of what he made over them 13 years I've been gone. It surpassed everything I made, and he has something to show for it. I have nothing to show for it. Uh-huh. And you can sell all your drugs. At the end of the day, you're going to jail.
That's right.
And what then? Now you're crying about you have nothing to do. Now you're a convicted felon. I don't cry about my felonies. I got 18 points on my record. I don't cry about that. I did it to myself. Now what am I doing? Like I said, I picked up a book. I'm learning to re-educate myself. I'm learning to unlearn everything I've learned. And that's the hardest thing because I'm way outside my comfort zone. A couple months ago, I wouldn't have done this radio show.
That's right. You remember that? He wouldn't even take a picture.
Yeah, so I know. I've been thrilled with the progress of what's going on here. Hassan and his organization deserves a ton of credit. You two guys have been amazing. I'm impressed with your level of sophistication, your understanding of what's right and wrong in the community. Maybe I have too much expectation of you, but I think you're quite capable of getting the violence to stop. Is that too much pressure on you?
Nothing is too much pressure.
And it's not just the two of them. There's a whole army. Like yeah. we have 50-plus guys from the neighborhood that are ready to do good work, that every day show up and do good work. These two are just like key leaders amongst the work that's being done.
I have more people that want to come to the table, but like at the end, they tell me they have to see the results first. You have more people that want to come to the forefront, but it's like I say, I don't want to make a promise I can't keep, and if I can't keep it, I don't want to talk about it.
But Jose, rather than them wait to see the results, wouldn't it be better for them to be with us at the beginning, developing the programs that they want results from, right? That's
what I'm here for. I mean, through me and I come here because it's a trust issue. A lot of people don't want to be seen because it's more like, okay, if I put my neck out on the line and none of this surpasses, how do I go back to my neighborhood?
Okay,
we failed. This is what all they know is failure, and I'm going to come back with another failure?
And programs have been disappointing and failing folks in our community for a long time.
It's a lot of sacrifices that's being made on both ends. So
So we've got a building on 12th Street that we're working on developing into a community center because the neighborhood told us they want safe places for kids, and a community center would help do that. We're also working on an arts-oriented one, another part of the neighborhood. And then the Da Vinci Center is planning on developing a big new facility on 9th Street in the neighborhood. So that'll be a science, technology, engineering, and math-oriented community center. So, you know, that's millions of dollars in new development. It's going to take a little bit of time to put those things online. But those are the kind of things you're looking for, am I right?
Yes, but I have a question on that community center on 12th Street. Are you going to be vanning kids in from other neighborhoods like 2nd Street, East Side, South Side? Because you have to be inclusive. My neighborhood is the whole city of Allentown. It's everybody. It's not just the kids on 9th Street on up to 12th Street.
Yeah.
Because that's where you have the problem at. Well, that's where the problem is these kids segregate themselves because the way the city puts them in predicaments. You can't open up something on 12th Street and let's say, let's purchase two vans and let's pick up kids from other neighborhoods. This is the only way they're all going to get along if you start bringing them together in the buildings together. If you just keep it there, it don't influence none of the problems.
Yeah.
It's like the United States, we trade with other governments, even though our people don't like it. But why do we trade? It stops war. Because now we have money passing hands amongst each other. The same way now you start introducing these people into each other in a building, they're going to be like, no, I'm not going to let you fight him because I'm cool with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
There ain't going to be no more north side, east side,
exactly.
South side.
You have to, like I'm saying,
it becomes Allentown.
Add a van or two and start picking the people. Bring these kids together. If you just build it here and you're expecting the neighborhood to show up, you might have a couple kids, but now you start influencing the kids from other neighborhoods to come and you have a van service on certain days to pick them up. That's the more appreciation because now they're talking to the kids in Center City, South Side, East Side, and this is how we don't have to stop it. They stop it amongst themselves because now they're making connections. We have to get these kids to connect with each other.
Just from my perspective, the neighborhood that we've defined, that we're going to focus our attention on, which is between 7th and 12th, between Linden and Gordon, is just for the things that have physical locations, but as far as I'm concerned, if you live across the street from that neighborhood or across town, all the kids in Allentown are welcome to be at that community center. So if that's the question, I can answer with my own certainty that we will be making that available to all kids in the neighborhoods.
But that's why I was asking, would you be able to provide like a van service for
them? Kind of transport.
Well, that's the only way I can imagine that we'll be able to get them there. So I would expect,
yeah. As soon as that's done, we can go back to those neighborhoods on the east side, south side, and talk to these kids that, look, there'll be a van. You can go there. They're going to bring you back at this time. And their parents will sign off on it because you're taking them off the streets. You're giving them something to do.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Hassan Batts from Promise Neighborhood. Actually, Jose Rivera. And Kiefer McNair are also really from Promise
That's
Neighborhood.
Right.
And so I don't
messages.
Want to take anything away from you, Hassan. Your work has been extraordinary, and I'm proud to be working with you on this stuff. We're running out of time. I want to give you both.
Jose has a math test he has to get
Go ahead.
To. Jose has a math test he has to get to.
Well,
exam.
Good luck on it, Jose. Let me give you an opportunity to make a parting comment. Or, you know, we've got 30 seconds for each of you, roughly.
Kiefer's having an art exhibit. We're transitioning from the block to the boardroom with this young man. And he's
March 1st, from 2 to 4, is going to be at the Renaissance Hotels for the youth. So it's building bridges to youth.
Jose, any parting comments?
Support that.
Okay.
Just want to shout out the whole Allentown.
He's a man of few words. Yeah.
I just want to give out a shout out to the whole Allentown. I want to thank Dr. Batts, thank Alan Jennings. I want to thank just everybody. Well, thank you.
We're not going to just like thanks the for being a difference maker. This is critical.
Thank you for the opportunity, Alan, for being here.
JB and Charlie also.
Yeah.
And shout out to the moms. We have a mom support group where the mothers show up every other week, and they really talk about how they can bring about change in the community. And these are moms that have lost children to gun violence that are really leading these efforts. So
we love you, Jeannie.
We love you, Mama. Love you to Jeannie, yes.
Shout out to Cynthia.
I also want to do a shout out to Neil Heaver, who does the production work for us here. If it wasn't for Neil, there's no way I could do anything that I do here.
We have our intern over here, Christina. Shout out to Christina.
Shout out to her, too. Doing an essay right now.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Hopefully you got a new perspective on the world as we see it. And we're looking forward to engaging guys like Jose and Kiefer in the problem-solving process to make Allentown, as I said earlier in the show, the best it can be. And I think these guys have an important role to play in making that possible. So thanks for listening. Stick with us, WDIY. I'm Alan Jennings, Lehigh Valley Discourse, and WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Stay tuned up next.